What a blessing. What a blessing that is, living for Jesus. We want to say thank you, Bible Baptist Church, for your prayers, for the help you've been to the Rumsey Ministry. I really do say that honestly, because you have been a tremendous help. You really have. Coming by, just this visit, coming by every year, helps us make that trip up to South Carolina for the prison services. And I'll just say this, last year, about this time, in late summer of last year, we had a real special need, and the church sent a generous contribution to help meet that need. And we want to say thank you so much for that. Amen. Evangelists will wear out a set of tires very frequently, and those things aren't cheap anymore. But God's people right here have been a real help for us getting that new set of tires last year, and we want to thank you for it. Thank you especially for your prayers. The prayer cards over on the back table by the stack of chairs there in the corner, you can get one of these, of our updated prayer card, amen. That's with the glasses and everything, amen. Get one, replace the older one, and use that as a reminder to pray for the Rumseys. You'll notice my wife is as beautiful as ever. Amen. And I look realistic. My wife will have these the Unshackled Story on CD. If you wanted to get one of those, it'd be a real help for us. And if you really don't think that you can afford it, but you've got a family member, it might be a blessing to help. Someone that won't come to church, perhaps, but would listen to a CD played, just let me know, and I'll make sure you get one. The whole point is that someone might hear the gospel that wouldn't have a chance to otherwise, or wouldn't care to otherwise, and so that'd be our hope. God's been good to us. So 22 years of prison evangelism, 15 different facilities now, and 7,900 precious souls trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We say he's been good, and he gets the glory because he does all the saving. This year is turning out, showing itself to be a good year. Praise God. This morning, we were at Watery River Correctional Institution in Rembert, South Carolina. Had two services there. We had the straight timers, which, as they're called in the Department of Corrections. That's the ones that are going to serve out a full sentence. Full house, had between 80 and 100. I didn't get a chance to get the final count, but they were from the front to the back, filled up in the chapel. So that it's good to have a full house, a big crowd, amen, and souls trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then the second service at 8 a.m., you imagine what time the first service is. The second service is 8 a.m., and we had not as many of the youthful offenders, but we had a goodly number of them. And in the South Carolina Department of Corrections, they have from 18 to 25, roughly that age group, that are kept separate from the older inmates in separate dormitory housing. And this group, some of them are multiple offenders. I mean, they get in trouble enough that they are kept on one side of the chapel when they come out. And the other group are first offenders, first-timers, and they... If they stay out of trouble, the new program in the Department of Corrections these days, if that first-time group stays out of trouble for 90 days, then they can have an early release. What an incentive that would be. Amen. I was even helping them with that, preaching a little bit of that for them this morning. Amen. Because that's what you want to do, is do right. Amen. So you don't have to stay long. But that was a good group. Those young people, they listened. They had to. But they listened, and some of them even trusted Christ. 5 professions of faith with the young people. Last weekend, we were in the Florida Panhandle in our own home state of Florida. Had 2 facilities, 3 different services, and praise God, souls saved in that series of meetings as well. We're generally, we're going to be in a prison revival pretty much every weekend. Next weekend, we do have a ministry candidating in our hometown area in Jacksonville, but that's a one of those rare occasions, amen. But we do need new support, so we take the opportunity to share the ministry with churches when we have the chance to. Jesus said, "What man are you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And we can see the heart of the shepherd right there, how important that one sheep is, that he will search and search and search until he finds that sheep. Amen. And our mission statement, this ministry, our mission statement is reaching sheep gone astray. Well, there are souls in our nation's prisons incarcerated. They've broken the law, yes, and they're going to be, many of them, a lifetime in those facilities. But Jesus loves them. God provided a way for them if they'll just trust him. And our mission, our ministry is to go where he opens the doors and make that message available to them. And we do thank God through these years to have had the privilege of seeing a precious souls trust Christ. We've seen inmates that have come out of prison and are serving God today in local churches. That's the icing on the cake, if you will, of a ministry like this, to actually know that someone is serving God, that was in a jail cell, that was in a prison cell, and today is serving God in a local church. I could tell you life stories and names. I've got a few if we get to it tonight in the message, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know where God will work in lives and human development. The sociologists, the psychologists, we know that they have the best of intentions, that they have a heart for the work they're doing, and they tell us this. They tell us that if a child is raised in, a broken home or in some kind of a bad environment like that, drug abuse, criminal influence, that a pattern is set in that young person's life, and it's pretty much going to establish that person's life to be the same when they're older. But you need to let God have the final word. He said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. And we have that joy, that privilege of seeing God work in the lives of different individuals in this ministry. And I want to thank you so much for your help, for your prayers, and for your friendship. Amen. We do. I thank God for this church, your pastor, and that y'all let us come and visit our friends here, and even let us have opportunity to share our burden. If you have scriptures, you had your Bible this evening, Ezekiel chapter 3 is a mission message that's been preached many times by many men, but I don't intend to add anything especially new to it, but I just want to see tonight from this passage, Ezekiel chapter 3, and particularly the ministry that we have in our nation's prisons, if you'll just allow that this evening. Ezekiel chapter 3, and look first with me in verse 14 through 17, and we'll ask God to bless the reading of his word. Ezekiel 3, 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river Sibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Lord, we do ask that you'd bless tonight the preaching of the gospel. Bless tonight God's people at Bible Baptist Church. And I pray for our pastor tonight that you would, Lord, give him a strength. And I pray, Lord, for this procedure tomorrow, Lord God, that you would just have the results, that everything would be all right. It would be good. And we'll praise you for a clean bill of health there. Ask God that you just continue to keep a hedge about him and use the man of God and God's people all in this place to reach this lost and dying world that's around us. And thank you for the faithfulness. Thank you for the hearts of the people. And I pray that you would help us, dear God, just to be busy about your business, about the Lord's work till you come. Bless each particular need of each one that's here this evening. Lord, for comfort, for strength, or for a touch of health, dear God, we ask in Jesus' name and ask that you would be glorified through our lives. Amen. We're looking at this call of Ezekiel to take the gospel to his own people, a warning from God, as the Lord had said. And God has already told him in the previous chapters of the book Ezekiel that they're hard-headed. Amen. That they're not going to listen. He's told Ezekiel already about that, and he's particularly prepared him. With the word. He's even given him a hard head of his own. And so he is going to be sent unto the people of the captivity, his own people, there in Babylon during that period of captivity. And God called him here in verse 11 of the passage. It says there in previous verses, I didn't read it, but it says, the Lord said, go get thee to them of the captivity. He's sending him, sending Ezekiel to the mission field. God called me, God called my wife, God called the Rumseys to the ministry in our nation's prisons. It's a great privilege and a great honor to serve him in that way. I think that it's a blessing. And God may have called you too to a mission field, to a ministry of such. And if you're wondering, why would he do that? I'm going to say, well, why wouldn't he? Amen. If you're serving the Lord, if you're faithful, if you're ready to do what he would have you to do, why not? Many would say, well, I'll tell you why not, Brother Jim. It's not cool. Being a missionary is just not cool. I mean, being a computer programmer or being some kind of an executive, account executive or something, now that's cool. And the money. You know, being a missionary, there's not enough money. But let me just go ahead and dispel some of this. Being in the Lord's work is a blessing. There's no greater joy that I can think of than the privilege it is to see precious souls trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior and then growing in the Lord. I told you about the ones that I've known that have come up from behind bars that are serving God today. That thrills me. That's a great joy. Amen. So you say, Brother Jim, it's not cool. I say, well, I'll have it. I'll take it. Amen. It is a blessing. Money? So Brother Jim, you had to beg for money everywhere you go. Well, I have to say, God provides our needs. Amen. Don't feel sorry for me. I mean, I don't miss any meals. As a matter of fact, I'm going to enjoy one of the best ones of the week right here this evening, praise God. God does take care of the missionary that's faithful about his work. And so missionary work is God's work. The Great Commission, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, tells us that we'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, amen, and we shall be witnesses. That's not just me, but that's y'all too. Amen, but that's the commission that he's given us. And the Bible tells us and shows us the plan of salvation, what it is that we're to tell them, what it is we're to say. It's Jesus that does it all. It's Jesus that does the saving, amen. He provided the atonement for mankind's sin. Atonement. Ooh, big old scary doctrine word. Atonement. But I explain it to the inmates like this. I say, atonement is actually like the old English that explained it, at one meant. Because it's like two that are at odds, that are separate, difference, with a great difference of opinion or some other difference, that are brought together in peace and harmony as one. That is what the Lord has done for us to provide for that separation that our sin had made with God, is provide for that atonement. Excuse me. It was the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that made for our atonement. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I don't quarrel with theologians that want to write books and sell books. Amen. I would probably write a book if I had time myself and even sell it. But let me just say this. I do object somewhat to folks that will say that that blood that Jesus shed was only a token or an emblem of his death. No. The blood is literal that Jesus shed on the cross. It wasn't any token. It wasn't any emblem. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I thank the Lord for what he has provided for us, for our sins. The plan of salvation, the atonement that is provided by the Lord. And notice with me, and we'll see this quickly, that the hand of God is upon Ezekiel here, verse 14. Scripture says in chapter 3, verse 14, the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. It looks at first glance like he's not all that happy about being taken away from the presence of God. He was right there with the Lord. Amen. And he'd gotten his charge. He's gotten his instructions. He'd gotten the word. Now is taken by the Spirit, and he went away in bitterness. I guess it wouldn't be all that pleasant if you were right there with the Lord and then had to leave. I mean, right there with him and had to leave. But Ezekiel's being sent to the mission field, and the hand of the Lord is upon him. And that hand is upon each and every one of us. If we'll just go ahead and let him guide us. Let him direct us. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's important to have that surrender, to be surrendered to the will of God for your life. Romans chapter 12. And verse 1 will tell us this. And I'm thankful to say today that even if it's not such a wholehearted obedience, but if you just go ahead and do what God said anyway, you'll find a blessing in it. I would take you to Luke chapter 5 and tell you about a fisherman that the Lord borrowed his boat and was using this boat to speak to some people on the side of the shore. And then he told Peter to thrust out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. And Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And he did. He went out there, half-hearted obedience, but he went. Lowered the net, encased that great catch of fishes, so many fishes that the other ship in his fleet there was nearly sunken as well. Hallelujah. Can you imagine so many fish in a broken net? Amen. But they got him in. They got him in. He went when the Lord said go. It's going to be important. The hand of God is seen here in this passage. And also notice with me in verse 15. Scripture says, then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river Sibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Ezekiel has a chance to see first and experience what the people of the captivity are actually experiencing and actually seeing. And this affects him, as Jeremiah has told us in the book of Lamentations, that mine eye affecteth mine heart. This has affected him, and he's astonished, the Bible says, at what he sees after these 7 days. And now he's ready to go to do the Lord's bidding and to take them warning, which passages from 18 on in this passage, this scripture tell us the warning is from God. Amen. For the people. And likewise also for the prophet as well. But seeing the need, understanding the burden is essential in mission work, in any mission work. There's a cry that comes up from in the bowels of a prison, the bowels of a jail, and I've heard it myself because I have likewise sat where they sat. And that is that no man careth for my soul. And as true as that may seem and is, I'd like to say this, that Jesus Christ does care. And he is the one that went to the cross and paid for the sins of even those vile wretches in a jail, even in a penitentiary. And praise God, he's heard that cry. Amen. I read the missionary letters, and I appreciate missions in foreign countries. I appreciate all the missionaries that go to serve the Lord, and I do. They're heroes of the faith. And it's always good when we can read about how a missionary will go to a foreign land, establish a church, and then God will move upon his converts, one of his converts, and that man will be trained and discipled, and eventually the missionary will install him or God will place him in that church as a national pastor. And then the missionary will typically go on and start another church at another location, leave that national pastor right there in that church with the people. And it's a very good ministry because that national is acquainted already with the culture, with the language, identifies with his people, amen, even loves his own people. And so he's right there very effective in that ministry, national pastor. Well, it was in 1986 when I surrendered to the sheriff of Duval County after I had been saved by the grace of God, amen, and delivered from drinking and drugs, but I had an arrest warrant. And I had to get right, I had to turn myself into the charges. And that entailed having to go and sit some days, as a matter of fact, a month, in the county jail waiting on my trial. But I knew the Lord. I'd been saved at that rescue mission, and I'd already been grounded in the scriptures through the rehabilitation program they had. And as I spent my time in my cell, minding my own business, reading the Bible and praying beside my bunk, God started to send other inmates. And others came and asked me to pray for them. And I wanted to say, I'm thankful that the Lord has a place for me to go. Because when those men started coming, asking me to pray and explain this or that from the Bible, just as surely as it could have been a voice from the ceiling of that concrete cell, the Lord called me to jail ministry. And I appreciate having the opportunity to serve him today. There's the message of truth we see in verse 17. I won't go into the following verses, but therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. People need to know that sin is serious. People in a prison sure need to know that sin is serious. There's been so much in our culture that's taught them this, okay, you know, it's just a little sin. But no, it's not okay. It's not just a little sin, it's serious. Amen. There's a three things I'd like to share with you tonight that God does not know. And that seems and sounds like a great paradox because we know God is omniscient and knows everything. Amen. When I say a paradox, that's something that seems false or is false. But what I'm fixing to say, I'd like to have you listen. There's three things he doesn't know, and one is a sin he does not hate. All sin. Little sin, big sin, all sin God hates. It was Jesus who went to the cross to provide for our sins. All sins. God doesn't take a little bit of sin and accept it.
A sin he does not hate, or a sinner he does not love.
Woo! Hallelujah, and praise him for that. He loved me where I was. He loved you where you were when he found you, when he saved you, praise God. He doesn't know a sinner. He does not love. Amen, and wouldn't save if he'd just come by faith and trust in the blood. And he doesn't know a way of salvation other than Jesus. Now today, in our culture, in our society, we've got everybody that wants to form a faith group and call it a religion will do it. And they're all welcome to, because God gave each and every one of us a will. Amen. Surely we have been given that from God. But God would, that we repent and believe the gospel. Amen. That's the will of God. And not another name than Jesus. I'm not going to go real far right there. I've been trained and conditioned, you know, not to name names too much, because we're not really encouraged to do that in the Department of Corrections or the state facilities. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. God doesn't know another way of salvation other than Jesus. Somebody might be thinking, well, Brother Jim, that's ugly preaching. And I have to say in conclusion that you need ugly preaching. Sure, because sin is ugly. Sin is ugly. Sin destroys homes. Sin ruins lives. Sin separates man from God. It is ugly. Now, there's cute preaching. There is cute preaching. And it says, I'm okay, you're okay. Cute preaching says, well, we all have some good in us and just discover it. I'm here to say that cute preaching will not help you. It only feels good. Without God in our lives, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and we need him. We just need him. Mankind is condemned already. Jesus said, John 3:18, friend, cute preaching just leaves us as filthy rags. Trust in the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ugly preaching says that sin is evil. And ugly preaching says that sin starts small and then completely engulfs. Don't do it. Get away from it. Trust the Lord. Get to him. Amen. Quickly. You got to get saved. You got to get right. Get right if you are saved, and trust in him. Father, do bless tonight as we look indeed into our hearts and look to the people around us that are in need of our Savior. I do pray that you continue, Lord, to touch and show folks that need in the jails and in the prisons, and keep that door open that we can go and preach the gospel. I pray, Lord God, that you, Lord, would bless this church as well, and continue to keep your hand upon it, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.